What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, Brandon Pham, and with me a special guest, Ray Graham. How you doing, Ray?
What's happening? I was cracking. I'm here.
This is a special episode, once a month or a little longer than a month since I've spoken to you. And it's to catch up on the latest game development news that is relatable to game developers out there. These are opinions of our own. Please try not to get Ray fired or me canceled. So let's go ahead and get into it, man.
All right.
But, you know, the good folks out there haven't heard from you for a while. What is up in San Francisco? Are you guys still alive over there?
Yeah, man, we're still here. I'm still, you know, RTO is a big topic these days. A lot of people getting pulled back to the office, and it's a huge topic. And I know it's one we've talked about numerous times. And I'd definitely say the trends that I'm seeing, a lot of what you've been saying has been pretty accurate, actually.
Wait, before you repeat.
Yeah.
All right, can you just repeat? I didn't hear you too well. Last 5 minutes.
You heard everything very well. I was saying.
So which part?
I'm seeing the trends. True.
Okay.
Well, like I definitely am hearing, like, and I vehemently disagree with this, right? I just want to put it out there. But I'm hearing from executives, because I think everybody just talks the same shit and then they just repeat it, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, I should do that too, right? You know, when it comes to remote employees,
yeah,
saying, yeah, your career is severely limited as a remote employee, and like stuff that, like, you really does not need to be true is just being reiterated, right? Now that COVID is kind of something that people put in their rearview mirror and not really worried about being in person, they're like, oh, I'd much rather be in person with you. And all managers should be managing people local to them and all of this, right? And you know, I manage a team of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And only two of them are in my city, right? So I manage a very remote, globally distributed team. And all of that stuff starts falling apart when you are looking for people that are talented, have skills, and you are fighting against stiff competition, right? You have to be able to hire globally. And so things like RTO and other things like that do impact that.
So you're saying that I still feel like your company is exception to the rule. You guys have always been remote first, grabbing the most talented people. There was a general setup kind of put in the, like, a strong foundation to thrive, mm-hmm, for you guys, being, you know, an engine business. I think the original folks were in Europe, right? And it kind of globalized after that. And so it was part of the company ethos to kind of have, like, let's get the most talented people and then let's make it work. A lot of what we're seeing now is, like, companies that weren't set up like that. They never had very much the opposite, strongly opposed, right? And I'm not putting that, like, strongly opposed to remote, where, like, no way in hell, like, basically 2 months before the pandemic happened, and, you know, IT, everybody, managers, middle managers, just laughed in your face, even if you suggested that. In our interview, it was like career suicide. You know, I do this remote. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? Get laughed out of the room. What a joke. And then for them to kind of act fast, it's like, hey, you know, for us to remain in business, we have to do something. So I think a lot of those companies are just reverting back to their original thinking. And you know, that favoritism for in office and that unwillingness to make remote work, we're just seeing the effects of that at least in the game industry, kind of spread everywhere. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, well, we don't have to do this anymore. All right. So the good thing is the infrastructure is there and there are exceptions, exceptional people that they're allowing, right?
Yeah. Well, also do we say it's like, it's reverting back. You said something else, like they're not allowing it anymore, right?
Yeah.
I think it's just like a lot of short-sightedness, really, you know, where people are not willing to try something new, right? And even in some cases, they think it's oh yeah, that's the other part. They're unwilling to try something new, and they want to revert back to the norm because they also, because of the way the economy is set up currently, and the jobs that are out there is kind of less, and people get laid off left and right.
Yeah.
They feel, yeah, we could totally do this down now. It's a safe time to do this because even if people bounce and quit, they there won't be much options out there for them. They might have to just suck it up and stay, right?
Yeah, the balance of power definitely is coming back to the employers. It's a buyer's market again. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of leverage now that employers are having. To not deal with the bullshit. The bullshit. That's what I'm saying, dude. I was like, where are you? On a farm? No, you gotta come over here. You gotta live next to us. You give me 2 days at home. 2 days. But 3 days you gotta come back in the office. But you know, as I've said before, the hybrid thing is just a gateway back to full time in the office.
It's a gateway yeah. drug, right?
It's a gateway to get them
back. It's the transition.
Exactly. Yeah. People are crawling back near the vicinity of these mecca cities, right?
Yeah.
Even San Francisco being a cesspool, whatever you want to call it, of crime and drugs, you know, the AI trend is kind of helping the city gain back a lot of the employers again.
It's I think it's just the same thing. It's just RTO, and with everybody coming back, it's just a temporary thing, you know. Although these days when I go downtown San Francisco, it's very chill. Like it's like not a whole lot of people. It's very relaxed. Like everybody talks about cesspool, homeless, drugs, all this kind of stuff, right? But in the areas that were bad when I was going down there before pandemic, like it's like almost a ghost town in a lot of those areas. So, but of course, homeless people are still there. Your car will still get broken.
I'm sure the first episode of The Walking Dead was described. In that same exact way, it was peaceful and quiet. Yeah.
But my car was broken. My car was broken into San Francisco years and years and years ago, right? Okay. So it's like, to me, it's like, this is not a new occurrence, right? You leave something in your car, it going to get took.
Yeah.
Right. So, it's a lot chiller now than it was before pandemic, even now, right? Yeah. But then, now with RTO happening at many different companies across, right, you'll probably see more and more people coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely, for good reason, I think it needs to return that way. I mean, the city is clamoring for people. I feel like San Francisco is actually trying to make an effort of finally caving in, saying, yeah, this is a problem. Finally, you know, it's the first step to fixing things, to admit that there's a problem.
I mean, the problems that plague the city aren't like, oh, the police aren't doing their jobs. It's lack of social services, lack of education, lack of proper infrastructure to help people. And then therefore you get what you get, right? Yeah. When you don't give two shits, that's what you end up with.
Yeah. Wow. Have fun over there. How's that going? you know, we see the people reverting back. the pendulum have completely shifted. You know, I'm even seeing things on LinkedIn the very much same way that people are calling back into the city to work in person. People who kind of went on this like rage quitting, you know, at the high pandemic to pursue like new opportunities, right? Basically spending 7-10 years at Blizzard and then suddenly quitting during the height of like the unknown to join a said startup company with high prospects. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to see them going back to like Blizzard, going back to Riot. I'm seeing
that maybe coming. If it's a company that got bought by Embracer Group or something. But most of the folks I know that are at like that started these little indie remote first companies, so they're still there. They're still making the game.
Yeah, because they haven't hit a missed a milestone yet. All right. They're, they're 5-6 months from like, oh crap, this ain't working out. You know, game companies are hard. Coming up with new ideas are hard.
Who knew? Yeah.
Who knew, right? So I think people who weren't kind of built, because there was a lot of falsehoods kind of created, in my opinion, right? There's this idea is like, oh, I can leave a super cushy, long tenure type of job like Blizzard and Riot, et cetera, right? And go to the startup that gives me, quote unquote, the same things, but like zero risk, right?
I don't think anybody's going to start with zero risk.
I know, but
that's, I don't think anybody was saying that. No.
This is what I'm saying. All they saw was the benefits of a startup having a piece of something I can call my own without having to sacrifice, you know, the benefits, the salary that I was enjoying at this like multi-billion-dollar company.
But that's always the trade-off, right? Like if you go out and do something on your own, that is the trade-off, that you're gonna probably get paid less, but you're hoping for a higher reward on the back end, right? Like everybody that goes to that situation kind of takes a risk. Or I just want the freedom, the creative freedom to make something good.
That was the normal way. What I'm saying is what people did during the height of the pandemic.
Yeah. Because
money was seemed to be like growing on trees, right?
Well, that's the people starting. That's people starting the companies who are doing
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. But like the people who left their cushy job still kept their high salaries in a lot of these cases that I'm hearing. They didn't give up the risks that most, you know, people would have before the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're finding out how hard it is and seeing like the troubles of, you know, how a new startup always encounter, right? Mm-hmm. The political side of things. Now like cash is running short. Everyone's pointing fingers, you know? Yeah. So I'm starting to see like that group reverting back and begging for their old jobs back. Kind of like buyer's regret kind of thing. Buyer's remorse, right?
Yeah.
So I'm starting to see that trend happening.
I'm interested to see how many people you're seeing do that, because I'm not seeing that a lot. Personally,
hey man, I am the soothsayer. Right? What I say comes true 6 months later, right? Sure, when you're sitting around browsing your LinkedIn, it's like, oh shit, Brandon was onto something again.
I'm not chilling on LinkedIn like that. But okay,
hey man, hey, Zuckerberg is following me. Look at him; his company is going back to profitable quarters again. As soon as he started saying this Metas thing is dumb. Let me fire some people. And now he's like ready to fight Elon. That's how much free time he has. He's like,
you know? Yeah. All he had to do was say AI, fire a bunch of people like every other tech company. AI.
It's happening.
Fire a bunch of people. And
things are not so bad. He shed some unnecessary headcounts, you know, all those kind of influencers talking about how great it is to go to like cafeteria all day. Finally, you know, man. I mean, he made the right call, but I'm starting to see at least something that we've been talking over the years, why these tech companies, right, have just over inflated their employees, you know, with amenities, right? And no actually work got done. And look what happened, dude. They're like, hey, no more spa day Wednesdays, you know? No more sleeping pod Tuesdays. You know, how about get some work done? And it's been across the board, like Google, Facebook, everybody's been doing it.
Do you know one way to get employees to be more productive and do more work? Do you know, like, what the studies show, how individual employees are more productive?
What are they saying?
They say that they're more productive at home, personally.
On their own? Home, right?
Yep. If you're doing solitary work, you're more productive at home. So if you want people to not be doing the spas and the massage chairs and eating and playing pool and all the other nonsense, the mad distractions that the campus brings you,
yeah,
you should have them at home. Yeah.
This is what I say to that, man. Being a guy who's been around that. I think productive people are always pretty productive or more productive, right? If you put in the situation, and people who are unproductive will cheat the system even more. You know how
manage,
you
are, right?
Yeah. Lazy people, remember, are just lazy.
just put to your head, just imagine somebody who's super productive, yeah, and then now they no longer have a 2-hour commute.
No, that's what I'm saying.
How much more productive can they be? You know what I mean?
Successful people.
Lazy people, yeah. You're gonna weed them out because they're not gonna do the job anyway. They're gonna get weeded out anyway, right? Yeah. When riff time comes, when firing time comes, they'll be first to go, right?
That's exactly what's happening.
But the people that are productive are productive at home.
Yeah. Every month, 10,000 jobs cut from Facebook, Google.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I don't know. It's a hard time. I don't know where these people are going. Where are they going? What are they doing?
They're going to the employment line, and some of them are chilling with the service packages for a couple of months, you know, see how things go, and then they go back out there.
Yeah. From what I've heard, things aren't picking up until late next year or something.
Yeah, probably January. Yeah, January, February.
Yeah, it's definitely tough out there. I mean, I'm talking to so many people. I'm seeing these postings and all these risks.
If you're doing AI though, you probably have a job like today.
That's the bubble for this year. Yeah. But every year there seems to be a thing to kind of jump on. And I just don't see how, unless you're constantly hustling, how sustainable that can be. I mean, we both know people like that who's always like on the cusp of the next thing, and they make it out profitable. But man, it must be tiring, constantly trying to, you know, jump on the next trend. And the people who kind of stayed where they were before the pandemic, I feel like are benefiting and coasting the best right now in terms of not worrying about the ups and downs of uncertainty, inflation, moving, relocating to somewhere that is a lifelong decision, right? They're kind of around what they were used to before and are generally happy. I've been reading and I've been hearing about people who went fully remote to a new remote company, not really considering, you know, who exactly they're working with, right? Just to kind of have this situation for themselves isolated really nice. But now, because of the hybrid thing and all this, they're finally having to congregate and work with others. And they're basically admitting, you know what? I like my friends from before. I miss them. Because that's a huge part of being around and working with others. It's just the personalities.
It's nice. Yeah. It's nice to see people face to face sometimes. I'll say it like that. Sometimes it's good to see people face to face. If you have to collaborate on something together, it's good to see people face to face. Whether that requires RTO or full time in the office or whatever is highly debatable. Right. But face to face, being with people, collaborating people is good when you need to do it. Yep.
What do you think about all these Gen Zers coming out of this bubble saying that they're ready to manage, you know, skip this whole, you haven't heard about this? What? So there's a group of Gen Zers that are kind of coming to the workforce, and where normally, you know, experience, knowledge gets kind of built over the years and then you get to management position. They're kind of bypassing that and saying, you know what, I can do all this I can start managing people. I want to work 2 days a week, you know, 50K a year so I can travel.
Well, that'd be kind of dope, though. Two days a week, 50K a year. That's not bad.
Yeah. you want to be managed by some guy? Some kid who's only 2 days a week, because that's
let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. The majority of the managers out there, and you know, speaking of a manager myself, right? I have a lot to learn too, still, yeah. Right? And so I feel like the majority of the managers out there do not know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people get thrust into management positions not ready for what it really means,
yeah.
Right? For their teams and all that kind of stuff, right? So like when a Gen Zer straight out of school saying think that they can manage somebody be worse than some of the worst managers I've ever had? No. Hell no.
You think they actually can add something?
They might actually be better than the worst managers I've ever had. Like there's a lot of bad managers out there, man. A lot of really bad ones, right? Sure. So it's not so crazy for somebody to be like, man, I can do this better. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah. It's not that crazy to think that when, I think there's a lot of CEOs and executives that don't know what they're doing.
I've got to talk to you guys about Magic Mind. Being a podcast host is pretty demanding. You always have to stay sharp, keep your thoughts clear, and maintain the pretty high energy level to especially engage with guests. So I've always been curious, always looking to learn and share, but I must admit, there are days that I struggle with a bit of brain fog. So my routine in the morning usually consists of waking up pretty raw and immediately moving into my morning exercises. This is how I've always tried to stay sharp and focused, but there are days, man, when I still feel like a lack of mental clarity and concentration. The folks at Magic Mind were kind enough to send me a couple of boxes, samples, and it really have like made a difference in my mornings. I felt it right after my workout. It's like a huge mental boost that carries me throughout the day. It doesn't just give me the energy boost. It also improves my focus. I feel like my conversations with guests are much sharper and I'm better able to stay aware and engaged. So I've been doing Magic Mind for the last week and a half now. And I notice my productivity levels are through the roof. Even after several days of use, I feel the difference. It helps me stay in a flow state. It gives me that mental energy I need to maintain my curiosity and explore all the corners of game development with my guests. So, and you know, what's even better, it's natural, vegan, as far as I can tell, doesn't contain any sugar. There's also other ingredients that helps reduce stress and anxiety and several types of mushrooms that supports cognition and boosts energy levels. Now I wouldn't recommend something unless I genuinely believe in it. I shared it with my wife and she even noticed a difference. And she mentioned to me, she haven't felt this way for a long time. I've always relied on caffeine to kind of help boost up her day. But with these shots of Magic Mind, it completely transformed and helped with her daily routine. So hugely noticed the benefits. And I'm pretty sure you will too. So here's the deal. You can try Magic Mind for yourself. Get up to 56% of your subscriptions for the next 10 days with my code GAMEDEV20. That's magicmind.com/unchained. That's magicmind.com/unchained. UNCHAINED. Use the code GAMEDEV20 for a discount. I highly recommend the 30 pack for the best value. And just try it. Once you try Magic Mind, I'm pretty sure you're going to feel the same as me, that it's just this amazing boost to help with your daily game dev endeavors. I think you need to hang out with these kids and see how they talk nowadays. It's like zero respect. There's zero respect, man.
I understand that, but like you saying like, oh, all these years of experience, like most managers don't have years of experience, right? And some of them don't even know the discipline that they're managing, right? Like they just know it is no management things, which is valuable in its own way, right? But when it comes to like the discipline of the people that you are managing, like understanding that deeply, like a lot of managers don't understand that, you know.
All right, let's kind of dive into this a bit, because this is interesting. To me, it sounds like you haven't hung out with a lot of 20-year-olds lately. that's what I'm hearing. But like, seriously, yeah, I agree with you. Obviously, yeah, we've been through the industry. I probably have more bad managers than good ones. You know, count on a single hand. Yeah. You know, the good managers that I remember.
Yeah.
Obviously, training is not, we don't go to school. We don't go through college courses. We don't do any of the stuff that other industries require to earn the higher position. We kind of go by, you know, who do you like more and who seems
qualified. Yeah, you've been here a long time. Oh, you want to get paid more money? Well, to get paid more money, you got to be a manager. So
yeah, usually the loudest.
And then we thrust people that are unprepared completely into it. Yeah.
And then you mix that with, you know, the nerd complex with power, you know, they go power hungry, right? Mm-hmm. And then they use it, they abuse it more than use it correctly, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's all true, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea, I welcome your welcoming of new.
Ideas. No, don't get me wrong. It's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, is it any more ridiculous than what we're currently doing? And the answer is probably not.
I feel like you're trading one grenade for another.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Here's my fear, right? To entitlement is attributed to this newer generation, right? It's just a thing where I feel like I should come in, I should be successful, I want to travel, which is great. Basically putting life above first. Work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Life above work. And that is admirable to kind of try to swing it the other way. But we've seen in many scenarios when you trade one from one exaggeration to another, it's never really like better, right? It's just one extreme for another just to kind of balance things out.
Mm-hmm.
the things that I'm dealing with, that I'm seeing with younger kids, is that, you know,
I can see Brandon cussing out the people that work for Arena. It's hilarious.
Well, think about this, right? Quiet quitting, right? That is a thing popular with younger.
But hold up. That whole thing is dumb, right? Why? Because when you go up, look at what the description of it is, it's basically just doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And people have been mastering doing the bare minimum at work for years. This isn't a Gen Z thing.
Okay.
It isn't. That. You've been like, people have been
but
working
you give doing me the bare respect minimum to lie to my face. To me, that is still, you know, commendable. The effort of lying and trying to hide, you know, no work being done.
Also, like the
it's necessary.
I saw an article, and this goes back to what we're saying about managers, right? If someone could quiet quit, and you don't notice, or they're still doing their job,
yeah, that's a manager's fault.
Like that's manager's fault. Like you're underutilizing them, or you're just not paying attention, right? And that's bad all the way around, right?
Well, so. Along with this quiet quitting, and we talked about this before, I know friends, I know people that are probably still doing this. Maybe it's less possible now that everyone's doing hybrid or trending towards that way, that people were balancing two salary jobs, three salary jobs. You know, they were double dipping, right?
So double dipping is called working two jobs. Working two
jobs at the same time, you know, 2 8-hours. But in reality, what that really means is they're working half time per job, right?
And if nobody's firing them,
kudos to them.
Yeah,
exactly. Cheating the system and
I don't think working twice as hard as you normally would is cheating anything.
Yeah, but the reality
if he only had one job, he would only be working half the day.
Right.
On the one job, right? But he's like, oh, what am I going to do with my other 4 hours? Oh, let me work this next job. And it's the same thing with people that like work a full job and then go home and do side projects.
I would say that, right? It's okay. But overall, yeah. If we take a step back from the last 2 years and look at the games that were delayed, pushed back, not accomplished, basically half-assed, right? And you look at, you know, the data just shows like, yo, and you guys are not, you're not, you think that you're swinging it, right? But you're falling short clearly in mass. And so like, I just, the idea that, you know, you're not just lying to the employer, you're lying to yourself that you're saying that you're thinking that you're able to do this, right? Obviously nobody was able to do it for various reasons, but this did not help, you know, to work half-ass, half-time. And I always admire someone that can hustle and push it. And like you said, yeah, I agree. You know, if the manager doesn't see the ruse, it is the manager's fault, the company's fault. But at the end, what is the net, you know, cost of us basically, in my opinion, kind of destroying me and you, right? We're on the good side of this, right? Obviously. But what people are doing and have been doing and what these projects delay and what we're seeing is investors, once again, all the money's drying up, for good projects, for good people, because of all these bad practices again, right? And I'll take another 2 years, 3 years, and forget. Like, I'm starting to see that.
That's not why the VC money and the money is drying up, eh? Like the money is drying up because economy, interest rates. Dudes are like, hey, money is not growing on trees anymore. So I have to hoard my money. I have to cut expenses. And so like, I'm not going to just, let's just be real. Investing in a video game is crazy town, right? It is crazy. You are taking a huge risk because it's a creative thing that could completely flop, right? You have to believe in the team that's building, you got to believe in the people that's building it, and you could still lose everything, right? And so when money's free, it's much easier to just be like placing multiple bets like money's free.
Yeah.
But then money dries up, then you have to be a little bit more picky and really get to like who do I think out of these 40 people that want money from me, who's really going to make it? You know what I mean? That's really what it is. It has nothing to do with working from home, people slacking off or whatever, right? There's been good games stuff come out. You know, Diablo 4, I'm playing it right now. It's a pretty damn good game. That was probably made mostly with people. It is, and especially with all the foolishness that's been going on with Blizzard, right? Yeah. It's a good game. It's a good game. Baldur's Gate 3 just came out. Seems like it's a good game. That game looks massive, right? And the thing is, there's going to be games that are going to be late. There's teams that weren't ready for COVID, and that definitely did impact people's timelines and things like that. But at the end of the day, you have to deliver a good product, right? And that will see you through more times, you know. That's really what it is, I think. So.
It's definitely some of that for sure.
Yeah.
The ebbs and flow. I mean, they've said many times that the game industry is recession proof. It is growing, have always been growing, projected to be growing in the next 5-10 years. If anything, it's getting stronger. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people how, you know, making a game, it isn't just about making the game anymore. It's like IP branding to movie entertainment, TV series being critically acclaimed. It's basically every project can have a Star Wars impact, you know, with merchandising now.
Because you have to be able to extract the money from multiple different sources.
So, yeah. I mean, I feel, yes, that money where it's not so familiar with the industry, not as, you know, who are more fresh, right? But those who are familiar are still parking their money in the game industry because they know, like, hey, dude, you put it in the right places. It's going to happen. It's going to go off. I'm talking about those VC guys who you come across and their bio is pretty much like, I don't fuck with games. It's like, I fucking hate games. You guys suck. You know, it's the voicing of a guy who got burnt by a bunch of snakes that we both know from bad practice, bad managers, just bad promises.
Well, you have to bet on a team that knows what they're doing, you know, and you have to vet that and like go like, do you think these guys are going to be able to do it, or will they be able to build a team? Will they waste my money? Is this idea any good? Is this idea unique? You know, there's a lot of different things you have to think about. And especially when you're like, especially in the VC realm, like game industry growing is one thing, but like if you're out there looking for money, somebody else spend their money on you. Now couldn't be a worse time.
That and don't buy a car or house.
Well, you can buy all those things, just buy them cash.
Yeah, just buy it straight up cash. You can't get loans anywhere. We'll say, man, I'm seeing more and more Teslas. It's like every other car now in Orange County. So much. That and the Rivian.
Every time we do this, we talk about what you're experiencing in Orange County. It's 100%. It is 100% not what is happening in the rest of the world. Like, yeah,
this is what I'm seeing now, man.
Yeah.
We're the trendsetters, right? For the rest of California, right? And I'm seeing like a Tesla every other car, right? Yeah. In my neighborhood, I talked about this, that stupid Rivian truck, right? Which I feel is going to get bankrupt sooner than later. And then I'm seeing Range Rovers just trending again. It's like Range Rovers everywhere. It's like, does everyone
actually
have,
the new ones look really nice.
Everyone has that's the thing. Like, it's that really nice. And Teslas. It's like, what is going on? Where's this money that everyone's just having to buy all these ridiculous cars?
They were buying them during the pandemic.
Something's going on. Like some kind of like package that I didn't sign up for. But it seems like everyone's good over here. There's no inflation over here. Everyone's fine.
Actually, Tesla car prices have gone down. They've done discounts on the car.
They've done a lot of discounts. Yeah, so that definitely helped. But I mean, they're still expensive. We're talking about like 40-50K base model. It's like, it's not, people are acting as if
it was crazy. I was driving, like my cousin has one. I was driving with them.
Yeah.
And this lady stopped and was like, hey, you know, because I was in Toronto. And unlike Orange County, Teslas are very hard to find in Toronto, actually. Like, they're not every other car.
Oh, really?
Not at all, right? And some lady stopped him and asked him, like, how much was the car, you know? And he's like, oh, it wasn't that expensive. It was only 60K. And it's I was laughing so hard, and he was like, what? Like he was genuinely perplexed. And I was like, bro, you just said $60,000 car wasn't that expensive.
Yeah.
You are out of touch. You're out of touch with what's going on. Yeah, like, a $60 car is super expensive.
It's a luxury car.
Right? it's not a cheap car. Yeah, it's not 100K. Sure. Yeah. Right. But $60,000 car is an expensive car.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, everyone's driving around like, as if it's just like a Honda Civic.
I bought my current car for 1/3. That price, right?
Same here, dude. I bought my Pilot 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like 32 or something. Yeah. And I was like, man, that is super expensive. And now everyone's rolling double that during inflation, supposedly. Which is great. I guess everyone's doing fine. Happy for them, you know, one of those. But overall, what I'm seeing right now happening in the game industry is that there was a lot of money flowing. VCs are closing shops, you know, for reasons that you said, for reasons that I think as well. People who were who left in a skippy, right, during the pandemic, you know, change of lifestyle. I'm starting to see a trend of returning to more safe houses. It's probably because of inflation and uncertainty, right?
Sure.
Like, you know what? Yeah. Blizzard's still there, right? Still there. Let's go back to these companies that kind of been through these storms, right? And I'm telling you, I'm looking because, you know, because of what we do as my company, I'm looking at these demos from these newer ones. And yeah, you know, the same problems they always been. It's like super
you're like this ridiculous. Is trash.
Yeah, it's like this is exactly, man. It's like, dude, what are you doing? It's the same thing. No one has figured out. Like, I think it's for the same reasons we always said. You know, the technology has gotten greater. Fidelity is more accessible. Ambitions have gotten higher, and for those reasons. You know, it seems a lot harder to make games nowadays, which is hard to believe, right? Because you think lesser people, more experienced people, easier tools means we're seeing these indie companies, indie crowds are making it. But because I feel it's a mixture of super senior who's been kind of sheltered. Right. It's the best way I can describe it in like these cushy jobs for a long time, going out and about trying to do this thing that, you know, is basically at the core grinding, right? Without the safety net. They're not knowing how to deal with that, you know, to take risks. They have to take risks to do something new. They don't want to take risks. Right. And so,
Well, especially if you have somebody else's money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're all like, hey, what are you going to do? What's your social?
We'll spend 5-10 years on this project. Oh, wait, you don't have that funding? I mean, what's going on? Don't you want a Blizzard-esque type of IP?
Can you make in 3 years?
Yeah, exactly. So they're starting to see the realities of limitations, you know, that they weren't used to. And
I think that's really good though.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think it's really good. I think
that's great.
To go out of the world, try to make your own thing, experience what that's like, run your own company. There's a lot of valuable skills you get from that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, there's people, there's people I work with now that like had their own companies and exited or didn't exit or failed or whatever. Yeah. And now they work at a big company because they're like, I did that. I learned some things from it. And now let me bring that loss here. Right. Yeah. And it's a little bit more safer. And I have kids and, you know, they got to go to college and all this kind of stuff. Right. Like, so you know, it's good to get that experience to go out there. Right. I already said during the pandemic, I thought a lot of people thought about mortality and now's the time, you know what I mean? To try to do something.
So, yeah. Well, now is like, never mind. Is what we're going through right now. It's my bad. Come crawling back. Which I think is great. Like you said, overall, to have more experienced people to kind of come back into the workforce and introduce what they've learned and be motivated again. Or at the very least, be thankful, you know, to contribute into a bigger company.
And also on the topic of like, these kids these days don't want to work and all this kind of stuff. You know who wants to work? People that had their own company. Those fools worked their asses off, right? Yeah. So you know that they're about that grind, right?
So this is what I'm saying. All right. I know you're kind of like having this hopeful opinion of these youngins showing something that we haven't been able to crack, right?
I have no hopeful opinions, but I'm just not so down on it, I guess.
Well, I mean, you're saying that potentially they could be good managers. Maybe they have something to show.
No, I was saying it can't be any worse than some of the bad ones we have out there.
So let me ask you this, right? So we're in an industry that constantly needs to innovate, right? Every 2-5 years, something needs to happen to push the industry forward. We're a technology industry, right? If these young kids are not wanting to grind, basically learn, you know, the skills necessary and bring that into the workplace and go through the motion of like working well with others, But instead, it's like, you know what? I know I'm, hey, Ray. I know technically I'm a associate engineer, but I feel like I can manage you and the rest of your team better. Like, you know, like these kind of conversations. Get used to this conversation, right? This is going to happen.
I've never heard this conversation in my life.
But this is the attitude.
Dude,
of entitlement that's happening.
No, but you know what's so weird, right? You're talking about the entitled Gen Zers, all this kind of stuff, right? Yeah. And then me, in my case, I know a lot of Gen Zers that they're anxious all the time, and they're afraid all the time, and everything is like a big production and really worries them to the point where they're like, oh man, I can't even work today. Like I see a lot of those cases where people are just overcome with anxiety.
They have
to take a day off. And well, just anything in the workplace could trigger it. Like there's some cases where you're like, hey, I want to promote you. And that could trigger anxiety because it's like, oh, I'm not good enough, right? A lot of imposter syndrome and things like this, right? That's what I see more so in the youngsters. And you know, I teach high school and college kids like every week,
yeah,
right? And I see so much imposter syndrome in these kids, a lot, right? And then people that I work with, younger people that I work with that are like lower level, like fresh out of school or early on in their career, super dope, super good. Anxiety, thinking they're trash and like having other anxiety issues impacting their job, right? I see that way more than overconfidence.
I guess I hang out with cooler kids.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you're hanging out with kids with humility, right? Which is great. Yeah. But what I do see, I think we're kind of putting together part of the same puzzle here. You're seeing both extremes, right? Sure. So the confident kids, quote unquote, feel like they can run the place, and the people who are qualified are just socially awkward, right?
Yeah. Our lives of always being online have changed. It's changed how the people communicate.
Yeah.
I find a lot of like, did I used to mumble like this when I was young? No, seriously. And I would like, I look at all my friends stuff
or just,
I just look at all my friends. I just look at like all my friends around me when we were in high school. Did we mumble? No, we were loud as hell, always talking. Right. Like, you know, like, and I just like, why is so many of y'all mumbling and can't communicate? Because they don't talk. They don't talk on a phone anymore. They just text. Right. So like, I think social media and a lot of these has a role in a lot of this, strong. Like how has changed the culture a bit. I feel.
Yeah.
I've never experienced, I know some confident young folk, but they're not that confident to be like, I can be a manager.
This is where I'm seeing it. It's like, you go on YouTube, right? It's the number one social media in a way, right? TikTok, whatever.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And everybody seems to know how to, have some knowledge that they can teach. Everyone's a teacher online, right? Everyone knows is a professional and super qualified to teach.
That's
something.
That's the influencer game, right? Yeah,
but that's
if you're seeing the video, that's an influencer that has a good number of followers, right?
Right. Right.
Every influencer is following the same pattern, right? Because you gain your following, and you can only get so much money off of the ad revenue,
right?
Now, what's a really low effort way of getting passive income? I started selling my courses. Your course is no different than the next man's course, but who cares, right?
Right, right.
Because you have your following and now you're teaching things, and that's an easy way of making passive income.
But this is what
you don't have to do anything.
When we were growing up, right?
Yeah.
You're older than me. When you were growing up, when I was growing up, we idolized very profound people that did have authority, right? And didn't just have a presence online.
Michael basically. Jordan?
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is that these kids are idolizing the influencers. They look at influencers as a way to live life. It seems fantastic. Little do they know, you know, the actual work is being, you know, it's being run like an actual business. Yeah, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of people. It's a business, right? Mm-hmm. But what they see is just access and, you know, the easy part of it, right? Because, you know, the idea of me filming myself with one camera, a webcam in most cases, and just talking to it, and now they're living the life, you know, mm-hmm. riding in private jets, they're traveling around the world. It's like, I want that, you know, and have the freedom to do everything. They don't see what's going on. So they bring this into the workplace, the confident ones that feel like, hey, you know, I have somewhat of a following. I have people that listen to me. Maybe you should listen to me, you know? So that there's that angle. And then the other ones, like you said, are who are watching this, who aren't exactly trying to build that. And, you know, they rely on their skills and they see like, hey, I'm not that. I'm not the person speaking in front of a mic with authority. You know, I'm just a person watching. So I can't do that. You know, I can't lead or be in a position to lead or be someone of influence or someone inspirational because I've seen what that looks like. And I don't have that, Ray. I'm sorry. So those are the two, the comedy. And that's the exaggerated where I see it. Because I hang out with really cool people, right? And then you where you see it on the other side where they're hiding, you know, behind cameras and shit, right? But like nothing in between. Like I haven't really seen, you know, in the younger crowd, someone like you, someone like myself, right? I kind of been seeing that side or the other side. Yeah. Where like, hey, you're telling me basically that you know everything that comes to 3D modeling and you've had what two years of experience. It's like, hold on.
I'd be surprised if there is some, like, I think that's like, I've definitely interviewed somebody. I won't say where or when it was. I definitely interviewed somebody and he was straight up. He came into the interview thinking he was the hottest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
Right. And he was like, how long is this going to take? I have an interview with Google like a little bit later. Oh. Right. Like straight up like that.
And yeah, man, you interview engineers in the Bay Area, man. You must encounter these guys all the time.
This was one experience with that. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm going to just crucify this kid.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what happened. Right. And of course, he didn't get no offer and he was not interested in our role at all. So I don't even know why he was even the interview. Right. But it was just like I experienced that once. But that I remember that story. And I talk about that story because it is a crazy outlier. Like, it's not something that I've seen happen a lot.
Happening more and more, dude. I'm telling you,
I would love to see some kid rolling up to Brad and be like, I'm a better 3D modeler than you.
Yeah,
I would love that.
On the front lines, dude. On the front lines.
I went to the Art Institute. I'm a better 3D modeler.
It's not even that. It's like I've seen many YouTubers, you know. They don't even go to school anymore.
I'm gonna be real with you though on that front.
Yeah,
you could learn a lot. Off of YouTube.
There's so much access now.
And you can learn a lot without going to school just off of YouTube.
Yes.
I've seen it, you know, my own family, you know.
Of course.
Learned so much off of YouTube. Not saying like, and then you have to practice the craft and you have to like put in the effort and you have to do all of the work involved, right? You still have to do all that stuff. Hey,
I've always been championing the self-taught because I've seen those guys throughout my career and they are always above the cut in the workforce. They just have this mentality and discipline to always learn and always look at like the best technique, the best things possible. Yeah. What the difference I'm seeing now with kids who have way more access than before is that kind of what you said, the social part of it, awful, just completely awful. And personality, at least with artists, is like 51% of the job, in my opinion. So if I can't sit next to you, I can't talk to you, I don't care how good you are at modeling in ZBrush, like or Substance or whatever. Like, I don't want to talk to you. And then the you know, there's so much more than just, you know, the particular software and making things look pretty, right? Into making a game shippable. That's the only thing you can learn on the job. The problem now is that since a lot of the jobs are remote, you don't have that experience, firsthand experience. There's littler patience to train a junior, to kind of handhold and mentor someone on a Zoom call, right? Versus walking by a desk and like, hey, let me show you something, right? So there's this huge gap that basically people are looking for mid-level and up, right? They're not looking for junior associate. It slows down the pipeline, right? I don't have time for that. Who wants to sit in the Zoom call to do that? As a senior, like, you don't want to do that.
You have to, okay, first of all, like, Zoom call or not, who cares, right? There's ways of not making it a Zoom call, and you should invest in those things. What we, especially at a senior level, I believe it is our duty.
Yeah.
Right. To teach the youth. Right. Otherwise, especially the stuff that I do, it's a dying art. Like it's dying. Like literally, like the people, not necessarily literally, but it's dying off. The people that know how to do these things are all work at Unity or at Epic. Right. And that's it. And then game companies are looking for those people and can't find those people, can't support their custom engines, and then use Unity and Epic. And then new people come into those studios and just use Unity and Epic. I have no understanding of how these things work under the hood, right? It's legit a dying art. And so it's up to us to teach the youth the ways, you know? And it's always that. And teaching, especially in a company, in a for-profit business that has deadlines and all that kind of stuff, is going to make you slower always. Right. And so you just have to know that and say, what's the benefit? The benefit is you're growing internally. You're growing people that will one day become seniors. So when your seniors die off, you have seniors right behind them to fill their space. You have succession plans. Like, you have to have all this stuff in order, right? You have to hire juniors to build them into seniors, right? Because you cannot just, if you want to hire a senior off the street, super expensive, et cetera, right? The senior has four other options. They might not choose your company because they have other options, but a junior that grew up, that you molded, whatever, could be potentially loyal to you, or they could go off and do something else, but you've added good into the overall system, right? It's super important. Like I feel really strongly about that. And people, you know, I've talked with people before, they're like, they said the same thing. Ah, man, I don't got no time.
Yeah.
Right. And you legit just have to make the time.
Yeah. You know,
period,
what Gen Z period. Call you an old timer. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'll call myself. You see see the grays in the hair, right? Like I've been around for a while, and like straight up, like this is a young man's game. This ain't for old people out here.
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is the danger.
Yeah.
Although I know you are a dying breed that sees the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and you're hearing this, most people don't have the remote way of doing things comes with it of me first mentality versus team first or company first, right? Well, think about it this way. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Stop. Whoa. If you team first, company first, are you crazy?
Well,
why should that ever be? Why should that ever be in your brain, right? Like you have to, first of all, me as an old timer, I've learned that this is not the way to be doing things ever.
There's a balance though. Here, let me finish this point. Let me finish my point.
Yeah.
If the company can't thrive and survive, if the knowledge isn't being passed and to train up the younger fellows or females, right? To kind of grow up in these roles that they'll replace, right? And it's a cycle that needs to happen. But because these remote jobs, the mentality behind that movement is life over work balance, like, right? It's not life work balance. It's life over work balance. And anytime you make that happen, right? You emphasize, right? Me clocking in, clocking out, and I'm out of here. But hold on, Ray, why don't you help, you know, John here, who's new to the industry.
You help John during your work hours. If you don't help John outside of your work hours, you'll help John during your work hours.
Yeah, but
if that takes 3 hours out of your 7 hours, yes, things go slower. Things take longer.
Your capacity is reduced. You're an honest 40
hour. That's how this works.
You're an honest 40 hour work guy, which is rare, dude. You're like unicorn.
Most people are
3 to 4 hours max a day.
No.
Come on, man. You know
some days you go to work 5 hours.
Yeah.
Some days you're going to work 20. Some days you're going to work 8. Right.
That's you, dude.
You know, you're going to get your job done. That's it. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing you get measured by right now is the work you do.
You what they call a professional. And it's a dying breed. I'm telling you, man. People who get shit done are thriving in this time. People who've always gotten shit done are getting shit done. There's no argument to that, right? And they're actually doing better, right? Yeah. And they're being valued. In a lot of cases, maybe not being valued enough. The people who are getting lazier, which is, newsflash, the majority, right? It's always the majority. They are doing the bare minimum, man. They're doing the bare minimum. And they're all about, hey, man, I can't wait to go on that boat trip this weekend.
I already told you. One.
Yeah.
If bare minimum is happening and the manager's not noticing the job's not getting done, that's a problem.
Well, because most managers suck. We already accomplished this.
Two.
Yeah.
Life is more important than work.
Of course.
The boat trip on the weekend is more important than your job. However, that job is paying for you to go on that boat, right? So you just got to make sure that the check is coming, right?
The check
has to come, right?
Hey, man, you're an engineer.
Never sacrifice yourself.
But I'm just saying, let's look at the math, right?
Never do that.
How is this going to be sustainable as a company that requires, you know, high performers and new fresh blood to kind of carry the torch?
Yeah.
Right now, I think that's the biggest crisis in this era where high performers are on their way out, right? You're tiring, right? The ways are being forgotten. Like, I feel like the ways of the office, you know, office is like an ancient relic, right? That's fast becoming.
There's certain things that we have to let go of, right?
Okay. There's going to be people in place to kind of help this transition. That's what I'm worried
about. Yeah.
There's a huge gap. Yeah. There's a huge gap where people who know how to function, have their work-life balance in check, are leaving. We have this new generation of minimum work as possible, quiet quitting, whatever, and not getting the mentorship because, you know, the mentors are not giving their time, right, to kind of give the knowledge. And there's going to be, I feel like the industry can only go bad.
This sounds like all sorts of bad management up and down every.
Well, we just covered industry has bad managers up and down.
No, and the thing, and we're also talking about the game industry where we always talk about, you know, work-life balance and like don't crunch and crunch is bad and all of these things, right? And then now we're talking about quiet quitting.
This is what I mean.
We got
to
make
more from no crunching to not showing up.
We got to make up our minds. Which one is it? Right? Is it
right now? I crunch, feel like
should have good quality of life, or do we want? Do we want dudes just like the work is my only thing, and I want to do the only thing is do this work, and then when the bosses decide that you are no longer valuable, they just chop you at a moment's notice and throw you out in the street. Like which one is it? You know, you
have to make the fair shake is 40 hours a week. Yes. You know, it's an old industrial age thinking, right? You have to do 40 hours. But in some cases, you know, if you want to do cool things, it takes time, right? There's no secret sauce to that. I mean, if you want to do cool things, it takes time.
Well, especially games, you have to iterate. Right.
That's really what you conversate, be around each other, figure it out, right?
Yep.
And I just feel like there's so much to that equation that's starting to disappear, right? For whatever reasons, let's just say for whatever, good or bad, right? It's disappearing. Either the youngins don't want to do it, the oldies are leaving. You know, managers are still bad, right? I if anything worse, right? If it's remote, like. If you were a bad manager on site, I'm sorry, man. You're going to be a worser manager off site, which is what I've seen. Yeah. Like
100%.
Like shadowing, you know, hovering and using Zoom in the worst ways, right? To kind of progress check people. So I see more of this trend happening. And then I see the crops of students and newcomers coming in. I'm like, man, this is getting worse, you know, this is getting worse. And in a lot of ways, yes, they can introduce forward thinking way or alternate perspectives that can be refreshing. But in most ways, in my opinion, they're repeating mistakes, right? Simply because me and you have created all the mistakes possible at this point to making a game, all right? I mean, how many rocks have we left unturned at this point at making terrible games? You know what I mean?
There's probably a few left.
Between me and you, we've made a lot of bad games in the worst ways around the worst people, right? So these new guys are not going to discover anything quite new, right? They're just going to rediscover things that we've solved in some way or another. But now we're not having the ability to be around to tell them, like, hey, you don't want to do that.
I will say, like, on this note of young people and like overwhelming confidence, like, I do experience some of that with the kids I teach, right?
The truth is coming out.
No. Definitely anxiety is definitely the overwhelming thing, right?
Yeah.
But what I do experience, and that's part of my role of what I do with these kids is, you know, for example, one project that they're working on, they're like, we're going to use GameMaker. Yeah. And I'm like, why? No, right? Because you have me and there's other people, your mentors, a lot of these people are going to know how to help you out, not in GameMaker.
Yeah. Because
they have no idea how to use GameMaker, right? Yeah. They're like, students like, I know GameMaker.
Yeah, of course.
It's all good. I got this, right? I'm like, word, okay. Like, you know, I'll trust you, right? Do your thing. Then they come back and they show something. It's functioning in GameMaker, but they're like, we're hitting some roadblocks, you know, and we really don't know how to get through them. And we can't really get any help because nobody knows GameMaker. Oh, shocking. Shocking. Yeah. The thing I told you 6 weeks ago turns out to be true. And then they're like, so with 2 weeks left, we're going to switch engines to Unity.
Of course.
And they have it working on the screen, by the way. They have it partially working on the screen in GameMaker. Hey, bruh, I was like, what are you talking about? Dude, right?
Switching engines mid-development, it's the best thing ever. What are you talking about? Like, that's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm there.
Yeah,
to give them some guidance on this and be like, no. Like, at least for this deadline that you have coming up, it's going to stay where it's at, right? And then maybe if you want in the future, after this deadline, to switch engines going right on ahead, you ain't doing that now. No way, right? And here's all the reasons why that's a bad idea. And it's always been a bad idea. And every project that has ever done that is a bad idea, right? Like, you know, it's just a bad idea. Don't do it, right? Yeah. And so you're there to give them guidance, right? In their moments of extreme confidence, right? Or sometimes they might not even be confident about it, but they're just like
naive.
Yeah, we got to do it. They just don't know any better. You know what I mean?
But that's always been the case. That's what I'm saying. That that exchange of experience that is being devalued by the newer kids because they feel like, well, it seems like you guys work your ass off for nothing and you're still trying to retire at 65. I don't want to do that. That's obviously wrong. They're throwing what they call it, the baby with the bathwater. So they like nothing works. Right. Which is not true. Yeah. You know, nothing is black and white like that.
That's true. But at the same time, too, it's like young folks do have might have some new ideas to bring to them sometimes.
But you know, that's where conversations have to happen. And for guess what? You know, this guy is on his way out and like, fuck you guys. You know, I've been burnt. You know, I've been bruised. You know, I'm damaged. I'm ready to go. Good luck, you know, especially with all these catty attitude. You know, who wants to help that? I mean, that is the worst type to want to help, right? I mean, how many cocky kids in generations of human history that actually, you know, the Dalai Lama is the only one that actually, you know what? Let me give you some of my time.
I'll just say this. I cannot imagine Brandon as a kid was not cocky. I'm sorry. I just can't imagine it.
That's why I'm speaking from experience. I know how terrible I was. You know what I mean? And these kids are scaring me, right? Yeah. What does that say? I barely got a career, right? Like, these kids have no chance. These kids have no chance. I was terrible. You know, I was like a youthful warrior trying to like change everything at this well-established company, right?
You know, I definitely I've went into situations when I was earlier in the industry and said some crazy shit. Wild shit, right? Like it happens, you know what I mean? And then there's somebody there to be like, yo, sit down.
Yeah.
Just be quiet. Right.
This is happening in different circumstances. It's happening over a Zoom call, a Discord message, a Slack. You know, it's just not the same to me.
Times change. Yeah. Times change, you know.
Yeah. With what you said before. We have talent accessible at a global scale, right? At a click of a button.
Mm-hmm.
How much time are you going to give this little dweeb, right? When you know a candidate just applied with the same exact job. This is what I'm saying. Like, how much patience are you going to have to sit through and hey, let's work this out.
Every time we talk, I'm like, man, I don't want to work for Brandon at all, bro. Like, yo, this man is hard.
I'm painting you a reality that most people are experiencing right now, right? Accessibility is great, but it comes at a cost. How much patience are you going to have to train someone up in the old ways, right?
Yeah.
When you can just, it's like when online dating became popular. I can just date someone else right now. Just really quickly, I can just, you know, I can just click on the next profile. I don't have to sit with you on this call and listen to you.
Wow.
It's gotten to that point, man. This is the reality. Like, people are having choices, especially now that it's a buyer's market. This is the reality. People are expecting the minimum, which is do your job 40 hours a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, I feel like you're going to have a hard time, you know, landing back in reality. That's just how it is. Because the people who are hiring for jobs, the people who are giving jobs out are cut from the same cloth. We're the oldies here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have our old way of thinking. It's like, hey, don't fuck with me. Right?
I just want work to get done, bro. That's it.
But like, I'm telling you, dude.
Yeah.
This new generation aren't getting it done. And what's worse is they're complaining how exhausted they have anxiety. They're reaching anxiety heights quicker.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, yo, just fix the collision. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you talking about? It's like,
I also just think of like on the anxiety topic, I would say like there definitely was, you know, what we did. Somebody I know said something. Oh, like I was like, what did we do back in the day? Because I didn't hear about all this anxiety stuff all the time when we were young.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Yeah.
Well, my friend was like, oh, we just drank a lot.
What?
Right. So
no. There's something to that for real. Right, I know you're saying it as a joke, but there's something about being around your peers, laughing about it, kind of relishing in each other's experience and pain that helps, a common comrade, right?
Yeah.
But what we're seeing is like these kids are in isolation and they feel alone and they feel like they're the only one going through it. Everyone seems to be doing fine and they're less inclined to share because it's embarrassing, quote unquote, right? And in their they don't have to relate to another human being. Right.
Yeah. Like that's the part where the management comes in, right? You have to make space and make it a place where, like, hey, you're not performing right now.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing the shit I need to see from you.
Yeah.
Not motherfucker, get back to work. It's no. What's going on?
Yeah. I mean,
how are we here?
Well, after the second performance improvement program that you implement, right?
I mean,
you're going to reach a limit.
No, this is long before it plans, right? Like, I mean, this is the first thing you do. What's going on with you? What's going on in your life? Like, what's happening? Tell me and let's see what we could do, right?
Yeah.
And then if that continues, then like performance improvement plan and all that, right? That's a different thing. But like, I mean, you just got to start with the basics, like what's going on, right? Because some people just need to know that you care and then things will turn around. And sometimes it won't. And then you have to then act on it. You know?
Most times it won't. Because there's that sneaky entitlement in the background that's happening. It's like, well, everyone else is wrong. Obviously, I'm right. Because I'm cool. I'm awesome, right? There's this narrative where I'm the hero of this story, right? you're just a side character. I was like, hold on, I'm your boss. It's like, I'm just seeing all sides of foolishness, man. And this is trending, right? I'm seeing this with a very defined age group. And it's not even that young. I'm talking about like low 30s and below. Like, it's not just 20s. It's just this thinking for this block of people.
Yeah.
The pandemic definitely changed a few things. And the remote thing accelerated very isolating personalities. I hope things change, man. I really do. I've always been a proponent. I know it's difficult to kind of separate the high performers and let them keep doing what they're doing, but also the mass that are lazy who don't know what they're doing. They need to be back in the office, man. I know it's like the office wasn't a great place, but at least it solved a lot of these unsolvable problems right now over Zoom. I just feel like these people who are not good being isolated are not going to find a solution. Because the solution to isolation is congregation, right? It's, you just got to be around people.
You just got to figure out ways to do both. You got to figure out ways to bring people in when you need to, train them when you need to, talk to them in person, face to face when you need to.
Yeah.
And then times where you're like, okay, go back to the farm, Billy. And get to work. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to manage those things. And I think that costs more money. I think that's more expensive. It costs more time. It slows things down. Right. But it is definitely pro worker.
I think everything needs to, the interview process involves some type of CrossFit training to see who can.
Hold on. See, you are not an engineer. We've been doing that for years, for decades, right? So the infamous whiteboarding interviews, right, for engineers are brutal, right? And it came to a point where people are like, this is useless. We shouldn't be doing this anymore, right? And then some old guard is like, oh, we're letting anybody come up in here and work now, right? You can't reverse a string of linked lists from memory anymore, Come on, man. Anyway, but
I'm interested to see how this unfolds. I thought by now we'll kind of have like a full measure, but the more I read articles, because now they're starting to have the full data thing. They're finally like seeing the impact of all these decisions and how these companies are figuring out and basically analyzing this new COVID pandemic workforce that's coming in. Mm. And dude, I was in and out, right? It's like $20 an hour now, right? I was like, oh, that's pretty good. $20 in Orange County is like $20 an hour as a start.
You can afford to live in a cardboard box, but yeah, cool.
But I mean, like $20. I mean, that was that was entry level for 3D artists back when.
I was making something like that back in the day, but yeah.
Yeah, but like the it's great to see pride, right? In these kids that are serving me burgers. But yo, you're serving burgers, bro. let's chill on the attitude here.
Yo, In-N-Out has pretty good benefits for their workers.
In-N-Out is exceptional. In-N-Out, if I wasn't a 3D artist, I didn't have a degree, it would be In-N-Out or Costco. I already thought about this, right? It's one of those two. They seem happy. They seem like they enjoy their job.
Yeah.
But it's the attitude. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you're still flipping burgers, bro.
Very tasty. The burgers are very tasty.
Delicious. I love it. I go there all the time. I come with the same scathing
remark. I see that. Yeah.
Let's calm down, huh? All right.
Just give me my double double.
Yeah, just give me my double double. All right. Let's drop the snootiness. All right. I mean, we hit over a little hour. It was always, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you, to catch up with you, to kind of give you, a little bit of the future, right? Is how I say it.
Sure.
And you come back 5 months later. Oh, Brandon, everything you said came true. Yeah, of course.
Just because I said you were right once, does that mean it will happen again? You know what they say.
Time's already.
You know what they say. A broke clock is right twice a day.
I'll take that, man. I'll take those odds proudly. But awesome, man. Keep San Francisco alive. We need it.
We out here.
As always, how do people find you? Connect with you.
Twitter.
What is Twitter, dude?
Oh yeah, that's right. That doesn't exist. Actually, yeah, don't even contact me there. Just search for me on LinkedIn. That's
there we where go. You LinkedIn, yeah. X, formerly known as Twitter.
No, forever. Twitter forever, baby.
Twitter forever. All right. See you guys. Hello, everybody. Brandon here. I want to talk to you today about something very special. We've been on this wild ride together, haven't we? From my early days as a senior employee, feeling a bit lost, all the way to leading multiple studios, transitioning to smaller indie teams and to the mobile industry, and now running my own game studio for the last 6 years. Throughout this time, you've been here listening and learning along with me, sharing this never-ending journey of discovery. This year, I'm kind of on this quest of meeting serial studio founders, discussing acquisitions, or exploring what it takes to grow a studio to over 100 developers. I've always tried to find an exciting topic to delve into, and every year is a little different. The focus is a little different because that's where I am in my career currently, and I want to be able to share what I'm learning with you guys. So I've always been dedicated to asking the tough questions, bringing you insightful answers from industry leaders and experts, and now I want to share with you how I'm applying these answers to my own journey. This is why I'm excited to announce that for just $1.99 per month, you can now subscribe to our exclusive content series. These bonus episodes will give you a deeper look into my personal experiences and how I'm putting into practice what our esteemed guests are preaching. It's more of a personal side of the journey that I hope will show you that we're all in this together and we're all continuously learning. Whether you're a game developer, studio founder, or just a passionate gamer, there's something in it for everyone. By subscribing, not only will you gain access to this exclusive content, but you also be supporting the ongoing production of the regular programming. It helps keeps the lights on and ensures that I can continue bringing you top quality content and insight into the world of game development. The links to subscribe are in the description. Your support means the world to me and helps me keep doing what I love, sharing this journey with you. So show some love, hit that subscribe button, and let's continue this adventure together. Thank you all for your continued support. And as always, stay tuned for more exciting content. Until next time, this is Brandon signing off.